hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that you have been encouraged by the messages of the gospel from our radio broadcast. Let the Bible Speak. And we let the Bible speak because it leads to the man of the Bible, who is the Lord Jesus. These scriptures, this Bible, is all about the Lord Jesus. It's all about his redeeming love and his work upon the cross. And I take great delight in preaching this message of salvation by the perfect life and the atoning death of the Lord Jesus. This is the most exciting story in all of the world. And I'm glad that you have joined with us on the program today. We're going to be going to Isaiah 53 and having a look at the victory that the Lord Jesus accomplished on that cross. To some people, this is very boring stuff. They want to go to some experience, some feel-good ministry. But why would anyone take so much effort and time to expound the background and the issues of the death of the Lord Jesus? Because it's the gospel. It's the very core of it. And unless we understand what Jesus accomplished on that tree, why the Father sent him, and how the Father punished him while he was upon that cross, because it was much more than just the sufferings that were inflicted by man. It was the wrath of God poured out upon Jesus. It was him taking our hell upon his own body, him becoming sin for us in his own flesh, that we might know no sin or judgment upon our sins. Praise God, we have such a gospel to preach. So stay tuned as we go to the pulpit ministry from our church.
I always take great delight in preaching the cross. For that reason, I have always been excited and enthusiastic about the Easter time. And usually leading right up to Easter, I would preach on different aspects of the Lord's death and what it means. And sometimes it's doctrinal, and sometimes it's historical, or a blend of both. And today, well, we're coming back to Isaiah chapter 53 and to verse 6. And I've been thinking that very often we appeal to people to come to Christ, to believe on him, to trust him as their own personal savior. But when we do so, we must realize that many people have no idea of what the Lord Jesus accomplished when he died and suffered upon that cross. Many just think upon it as an ugly piece of history, a horror story. And the idea is that it's the way by which we can be encouraged in our sufferings don't do very much at all to explain it. In fact, they only confuses the matter. And so I want to bring you to Isaiah 53 and this verse 6. And it tells us here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, and that word Lord is Jehovah, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I want to go straight to our message today on substitution. Christ died on the cross as a substitute for his people. And it has often been said, Christ died, that is history. Christ died for us in our place. That's the gospel. That's the message and the meaning of the purpose of Jesus' death upon that cross. And when we come to really focus in, and I hope that you will with me today, focus in on what was this about? What was being accomplished when Jesus voluntarily offered himself up as a lamb, as a suffering savior, freely, without protest, gave himself to death on that cross? What was it about and what did it accomplish? Well, I must and I want today to introduce you to this doctrine of substitutionary atonement, the instead of me sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now, you understand what a substitute is at school. If you have a fill-in teacher, you call that teacher a sub, someone who stands in the place of the regular teacher. Maybe they have another appointment, or they're ill, unable to take the class that day. Then a sub or a substitute teacher steps in. Or perhaps you're playing hockey or some other sport, and whenever one is injured and unable to play, then a substitute is brought on. And so this is a regular everyday occurrence. Or perhaps in church you might have a substitute preacher. From time to time the preacher might have a voice that he cannot speak, or for some reason cannot attend, and you bring in a substitute preacher. Now, when we come to the cross of Calvary, there is one very big difference, because it is, in the case of our Lord Jesus, not just an equal standing in the place of an equal, but it is the judge standing in the place of the criminal. It is the judge who is sinless and spotless taking the punishment for the criminal. And that really is at the core of the work that the Lord Jesus was performing when he died on that cross. And in the case of the Son of God, he came all the way from heaven and stepped into the cell of the condemned and went to the cross to pay for our sins, standing in our place. And there Jesus bore all the wrath and punishment of God the Father that was due to us, to sinners, that we might be delivered and go free. And that is the wonder of it. Now see how Isaiah puts it here in this verse 6. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now I have prayed today for help to preach on this subject of substitution to you today, that Jesus' death was substitutionary. Now let me try in the time that I take today to lay down three things. That substitution was necessary. That's the first thing. And we're going to look at that statement in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone our own way. So substitution was necessary because we were lost. And then secondly, substitution was motivated by mercy. It is God the Father choosing to lay upon his own Son all the punishment that is due to us. And God, in that act of punishing his Son upon the cross, was motivated, he was moved by mercy, by great grace toward his people. And then, and thirdly, if time allows, I want to look at substitution was victorious to atone or to make peace for all for whom Christ died. Not one who is washed in Jesus' blood, not one who is saved by his sacrificial death, will ever be lost or have to pay one drop of wrath for their own sin. So bear with me today and think hard as we go along through these few headings today. Now you must note how the reference to straying sheep precedes the statement of the Father or Jehovah laying upon the Son the iniquity of us all. And it says here that all we have gone astray. Now, when I was a boy growing up on a farm, I used to be plagued with going after stray sheep. And somehow that lot seemed to fall upon me quite a bit. And you have those rascal sheep in particular who find a hole in the hedge. They find a way to stray, and you are constantly going after them. And that becomes wearisome. And it says here that we as sinners are like stray sheep, rebellious. We want our own way. We don't want to be bound in and keep the law of God. And this teaches us that sin is moral evil. It is a protest, rebellion against the very law of God. And sin is man's choice. Therefore, it's guilt. It's something that we're responsible for. And we must give account to a holy God for our sinful ways. Now, sin therefore causes a separation between a holy God and the sinner, and therefore it must be punished. And this is a biblical truth. It's based on morality. It's based on law. It's based on the practice of every human being, children of Adam. We have gone astray. We have sought our own way. We are guilty before God and deserve to be punished. That is the first principle as we look at it here. Sin must be punished, for it has offended God, and it must be punished because God is a perfect judge. He cannot simply turn away and neglect to punish the sin of mankind. Now, suppose you read in the newspapers that a certain judge on the bench in Canada refused to act as a proper judge and lay down sentence on murderers, bank robbers, and kidnappers. Suppose you learn that time after time, that judge just either reduced the sentence or axed the sentence, and the guilty went free without paying the price. What would you think of that judge? Well, it wouldn't be long until there would be protests that he be removed from the bench. He's not fit for his office because he is favoring the wicked and he is granting people to go free when they have committed crimes. Therefore, a judge who honors the law will always give out sentence that is agreeable to the law. And the God of heaven, likewise, as the judge of all the earth, who is holy, upright, righteous, he must punish sin. And the wonderful thing is that God hath laid on Jesus our sins. God is remaining holy and righteous. He still punishes sin. But instead of punishing the guilty sinner, he punished his own son. And in Romans chapter 8, 32, God spared not his own son. And so we see that we have this, the sheep that go astray, they deserve to be punished. But God the Father, in his majesty and in his perfect judgment, he still metes out his wrath. He still meets the standard of the law. And yet he saves his people by sending his son to be their substitute to stand in their place. Now, secondly, we move to substitute. Substitution was motivated by God's mercy. And you must not miss the point that in this text, as in so much that God reveals about his plan of salvation, that it is God that takes the action. And the Lord Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there in those hours of darkness upon that cruel cross, God the Father was whipping, punishing, he was pouring out his wrath upon his own son, and it was God that was taking the action and doing this. And in it all is his mercy. Mercy not toward his son, but mercy toward his people, for those whom Christ died. And the mercy is seen that God permitted a substitute. Now, is God obliged to do that? Not at all. But in his mercy, he permits a substitute to be a sacrifice, to pay the price. And then in his mercy, he provides the substitute, his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and all that we might not perish. So this is the heart of God. It is the love of God at work, who is putting forth his mercy to save his people from their sins. And however, payment may be received from another. Jesus stood in our place as our substitute, as the suffering Savior, to bear away our sin.
Thank you.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you so much for listening into our Easter message today. Truly, to preach the cross is my delight, because I have made it my very life's work. The first Bible text I remember preaching at a gospel service was from John 3:16. Now, I'm talking about 44 years ago. I worked my way through the terms and meaning of that great text of the Bible. Really, John 3:16 is the epitome of the Bible. It is rightly called the Little Bible, and it has the whole gospel contained within it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel, and that's the heart of the Bible message. Now, the battle for the Bible is to call men to the old gospel of free and sovereign grace, the love of God all wrapped up in the gift of God's only begotten Son. Liberals have tried to jettison the gospel by attacking the very framework of the gospel message. They despise the infallibility of the Bible. They want a book that is merely a soft gray shadow of the truth. They want to play fast and loose with the words of the Bible because they don't want to accept its logical meaning. Liberals and modernists hate the doctrine of substitutionary atonement, that Jesus died in the sinner's place. They cannot abide any hint that God called upon his Son to bear punishment or suffer wrath in the place of a sinner. Oh no, that is distasteful to their otherwise wisdom. They think that a God of love should merely wink at sin and pardon deep-dyed rotten sinners on the basis of a cheap love that cost nothing. However, the true gospel is that sin must be punished, for the wages of sin is death. The justice of God demands it. The holiness of God says that the sinner must die. The good news of the gospel is that God found a way to save souls through the law of substitutionary atonement. The sinless one dying in the place of the guilty one. Jesus stepping in to bear the guilt, condemnation of sin, so that through his full, infinite payment, no more payment is demanded. It is absolutely genius. It is God's wisdom at work to design the cross. It is God's heartbeat of love to set sinners free from eternal wrath. Through one perfect man's death, through one eternal offering for sin, all who put their trust in his death as their substitute are wonderfully saved. Now, you should know that the devil hates this plan of salvation by substitutionary atonement. It is too godlike, it is too merciful, and it's too simple, as it opens wide the gate to heaven to all and every sinner who will look unto Jesus to be saved. So the devil sends his emissaries into the world to fight against the Bible with the message of full pardon to the very worst of sinners. These messengers of hell concoct their lies against God's word. They try to pull down God's house and God's way of mercy. They work day and night as slaves of Satan to blind the hearts of sinful men. But here comes the great light of the gospel to shine in. Here comes the message of love and hope to the lost. We pray and we sing, "Let it shine, let it shine." Has this gospel hope filled your heart? When you go to the Bible, you will find it full of promises and full of invitations to come to Jesus, to know the love of God in your soul. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. It's funny that such a thing has to be said. Who would ever think otherwise? Well, the liberals and the modernists do. They don't want the Jesus of Calvary, who died in the sinner's place. They want a Jesus of Galilee, who is sort of a Gandhi, who has come to teach by silent protest, they say. That is a lie. Jesus is the Son of God, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and he does, because it's still true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the little Bible, and that's the whole gospel in a nutshell. Oh, that you would come today to put your trust in the loving kindness and the grace of the Lord Jesus as your very own personal Savior. This is Ian Gallagher, and thank you for listening to this plea of my heart, calling you to the battle of the Bible, the battle for the gospel, by surrendering all to the man of Calvary who loved us and gave himself for us. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.